Your Grace, Reverend Fathers, Dr. Fchariatlis, Dr. Haralambos Ladopoulos, Education Consulate of the Greek General Consulate, Mr. Kostas Kontis, Vice President of the Archiepiscopal Council, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It is with great pleasure to be here today to present my paper in front of all of you, the youth of our church. I would like to express my gratitude to the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese for giving me this blessed opportunity to communicate with young people. Choosing the topic was not a pleasant or an easy process, since I'm not old enough to be in a position to give advice, neither young enough to talk as one of you. So I identified a theme relevant to both parties. To me, as a father of two who struggles with the daily life within a highly secular and competitive society, and to you, as young Greek Australians pursuing to define your relationship with the Orthodox Church on the one hand, and on the other, your connection with the rest of the world. Media is definitely an area of common interest. Personally, I work for the media for a number of years now, but also I consume media as every other Australian of my age. The same, and even more, happens to you. Your young age permits you to interact with them far more than any other past generation. Recent controversy in Australia about the role of media makes the whole issue vital to all of us, whether we are students, professionals, parents, or even spiritual fathers. And I refer, of course, to the Kyle and Jackie O Show radio program, broadcasted not a long time ago on Today Radio in Sydney. I believe we all remember that a few weeks ago, a 14-year-old girl taking part in a lie detector test revealed that she had been raped. Before we go any further, let me point out a few things about my presence at this conference. As you may know, I work for SBS Radio as a producer for the Greek language program, and before that I was working for other Greek Australian media, and the experience so far has been fascinating. Please note that my views, as expressed in the presentation, does not reflect my employer, SBS. I do not represent SBS in this conference. Additionally, let me stress the point that I'm not an expert on media studies or mass communication matters. I'm not here to talk as an expert. I'm here because I'm doing what we call in our Orthodox ecclesiastical language, υπακοή, obedience in plain English. I obeyed our church's calling to offer my humble but sincere contribution to this conference. Now, my purpose. My purpose is not to talk about new technological trends, devices, etc. It would not be wise anyway for an X-generation bloc to do something like that before so many and so passionate Y-generation people, even though I can see some baby boomers here, quite a few. Nor will I try to present an in-depth analysis of this vast industry and its relationship with youth. My purpose now is to identify some crucial characteristics of mass media which underpin the relationship with the public and the youth in particular, highlighting the importance of being critical and alert as part of the responsibility of the youth in the modern society. I hope that my attempt will not be fruitless. I ask God's help, and I believe you will forgive me for my mistakes. I'm also conscious that our Archbishop, who is not here with us unfortunately today, is very sensitive towards media. He is always sensitive and vigilant for matters concerning media and youth. The topic youth and media, constructive and destructive relations, acknowledges that there is a relationship between young people and media, admits that this relationship has both positive and negative implications. And the plural form of the word relationship indicates it is not only media and youth relationship, but also youth media and family, youth media and community, youth media and religion, etc. The word media is the plural form of the Latin word medium and defines the main means of communicating with large numbers of people, especially television, radio, newspapers, internet, mobile phones, etc. It can be used as a collective noun for press or news agencies. The definition, though, is not a static one. It changes significantly from one period of time to another, following the technological advancements of the new lifestyle. The case of internet and mobile phones is an example of the effect that those two areas of communication and technology have on the concept of media. The expendable nature of media, though, means that our engagement with them is also changing in a complex and serious manner. I suspect, for example, that some of us, within the next 30 minutes, will check our mobile for missed calls or for any SMS message, reply to those messages, and who knows, we might check our email if our phone connectivity permits. Father. Earlier this year, an interesting survey was conducted by Ace and Nielsen showing that we spend 80% of our waking hours consuming media. More specifically, the Nielsen Online Internet and Technology Report surveyed more than 2,000 Australians and found the average Aussie spent 89.2 hours a week consuming media last year, or almost 80% of their waking hours. The result of this survey might be surprising, and we might take it lightly considering the general limitations of a survey of that nature. In any case, it is indicative of the new trends and lifestyle. Another interesting point of the same survey is the following. People aged over 16 spend an average of 16.1 hours on the internet each week, 12.9 hours watching TV, 8.8 hours listening to the radio, 3.7 hours on the mobile phone, and 2.8 hours reading newspapers. Some users also used more than one form of media at once, with more than 3 in 5 internet surfers watching TV simultaneously and half surfing the web while listening to the radio. I can confirm the last point because I discovered the survey on the internet via my laptop, watching TV, talking on the phone, having a coffee, and I would not be surprised if some of you are more talented. In any case, the center of our house, of our houses, has become our TV room, which is not necessarily something negative. We learn what is happening around the world. It is entertaining and helps us to relax and to escape reality. Indeed, the structure of modern life demands a few moments of relaxation and recreation, and especially television does not require special effort to be watched. The power of the image and the sound is very strong. On the other hand, in the past, people used to entertain themselves differently, without media. The center of their house was the fireplace. We all know from our grandparents that the family would gather in front of the fireplace, talking and sharing their experiences. Also, for the ancient Greeks, the center of their house, the fireplace, the estia, as they used to call it, was a very sacred place dedicated to a goddess named Estia, the guardian of the family. So, from the estia to the plasma screen, and from plasma screen to wireless internet, which reinforces the isolation and alienation between the members of the family, I believe. Before we go any further and discuss the effect of that engagement with media, let's talk about their power. Whenever we mention the word power, the well-known proverb, "absolute power corrupts absolutely," comes to our mind, or as William Pitt the Elder expressed in a House of Lords speech in 1770, unlimited power is apt to corrupt the minds of those who possess it. And this I know, my lords, that where laws end, tyranny begins. Let me make a necessary deviation at this point. Our political system, and in general most of the Western democratic societies, are based on the doctrine of separation of powers. Under this doctrine, the state is divided into three branches with separated and independent powers. The first one is the executive power, which is exercised by the governments. The second one is the legislature power, which is exercised by the parliaments. And the third one is the judicial, exercised by the courts. In the Australian case, those powers derive from the Australian Constitution. Now, let me return to our discussion about media. I believe that many of you have heard the proposition that media is the fourth power, noting their enormous influence on society, which is equal, if not more, of the other three powers mentioned before. People in politics, or in general, people who rely on their popularity for their success, invest huge amounts of money and time for organizing extravagant campaigns to pursue their aims. Every election period in the United States is a reminder of that statement. Recently, millions of dollars were spent by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton during their rivalry to gain the presidential candidacy on behalf of their party, the American Democrat Party. Speeches, public events, interviews, advertisements on all sorts of media, just for the candidacy as part of the whole effort. And the expenditure for Barack Obama did not finish until the end of the US presidential elections. Would it be possible to contact a campaign of this magnitude without television, papers, radio, internet? Definitely not. Furthermore, political candidates prefer to achieve something more than just making public their policies and opinions. They want to persuade, to make sure, that the public is impressed by them. The idea of image making, it's not a new, and we are all familiar with it. Media, for example, promoted Obama as an intelligent, black American, articulate, good friend of a number of celebrities and influential American personalities. Most importantly, an American devoted to his country and his family. Michelle Obama, his wife, was next to him almost all times, reinforcing her husband's campaign to become president of the White House. Resident of the White House, convincing the voter through media that he's a good, wholesome American citizen, an important value for the Americans. "Yes, we can," was a clever and inspiring slogan, spreading a feeling of trust, confidence, and change. Inevitably, anyone who has the desire to reach the public arena must know how to interact, treat, or even manipulate media. Kevin Rudd, during the last elections against John Howard, seemed extremely friendly with TV presenters, approachable and ready to recognize a successful opponent, John Howard. And Rudd's attitude towards media and on media was paid back. On the contrary, a few years back, the controversial persona of Jeff Kennett, after a number of years serving Victoria as premier, could not even hold his Burwood. This is a mistake, it's a Burwood, not a Hawthorn. He's president of Hawthorn Football Club, but he was holding the Burwood parliamentarian seat, and many attributed his defeat to his damaged relationship with media. Under these circumstances, the fourth power emerges as the ultimate catalyst of today's politics, celebrity and star system, economy, etc. The state recognizes all the strength and the potentials of the media and regulates the industry in order to ensure that people and institutions are protected. Several legislations and regulations are in place about defamation, operation of the media, media ownership, etc. For example, the law in Australia prevents the common ownership of newspapers, television and radio broadcasting licenses that serve the same region. The purpose of the relevant legislation is to encourage diversity in the ownership of the most influential forms of the commercial media, the daily press, and free-to-air television and radio. The justification of the rules is that the effective functioning of a democracy requires a diverse ownership of the daily mass media to ensure that public life be reported in a fair and open manner. Nevertheless, strict regulation or parental control or any other kind of control over the operation of media does not guarantee proper content, nor a content that respects or reflects ideals and values of communities like ours. Also, television and internet especially have become the modern Colosseum. The Roman emperors used to provide entertainment for the Roman citizens with lots of blood and killings. But the question is, how far are we from that situation, from the gladiators and those duels to death, and from their thirst for blood? I leave the question to you as part of the group discussions. On the other hand, we are indeed millions of years away from our ancestors, the ancient Greeks, and their perception about theater, the spectacular, and art. Performances of tragedies, which used to be called διδασκαλίες, teachings, due to their educational value, were not just a form of entertainment for the people back then. They were part of religious festivals. They were a celebration of their culture and their faith to gods. They were sacred. The directors of the plays were not supposed to reconstruct murders or suicides on the stage, but rather to present their body of the murder to indicate that a murder took place, and all this in front of an audience which was familiar with blood and killings due to their participation on the battlefields fighting with other Greeks, Spartans, Macedonians, or against foreigners, the Persians, for example. Furthermore, what is more fascinating is the fact that the purpose of the tragedies was to praise adherence to the divine law, and, on the other hand, to condemn arrogance towards the God's law, to renounce disobedience to those eternal rules. Breach of the divine law meant commission of ivris, a word that was synonymous with what we call today blasphemy. The plot of the ancient tragedies was a process of catharsis, or else a process of cleansing and salvation of the protagonist who committed the ivris, the blasphemy. In modern society, though, a quick review of some of the latest awarded movies could highlight the difference between the concept of spectacular in ancient Greek tragedies and in modern cinematography. Ideals like family, religion, human relationships, and human life are treated by a fraction of the media with no respect. It was not a long time ago that His Eminence exercised a very strict criticism towards a show that was produced in Greece and was screened via cable TV to Australia. The show is called The Moment of Truth, η στιγμή της αλήθειας, and is based on an American idea, of course. His Eminence wrote, "Another most serious reason which demands that we immediately raise a voice of acute objection, i.e. a self-enunciated censure of those who callously take advantage of the weaknesses and defenseless television audiences, especially the youth, is the most scandalous fact that the game show in mention, like others, was introduced to Greece from abroad, where it is considered that a higher cultural level prevails, indeed, as the splendid product of a great educationist and enlighteners of supposedly free conscience. There is no doubt that it is astounding watching a family being torn apart in front of a nation, like it happened last year during one of the American versions of The Moment of Truth, a program that was also broadcasted in Australia. At the same time, though, it is imperative for all of us, especially you, the young people, to develop a mechanism that will help to analyze those direct and indirect messages from media. The messages are strong enough to influence people's life in an irrevocable way. Interestingly, a number of organizations, both nationally and internationally, promote media literacy education as a framework for accessing, analyzing, evaluating, creating and participating with media content by helping especially young people to develop critical thinking and skills needed to live fully in the 21st century media culture. American experts suggest that it is not enough to discourage young people from smoking by prohibiting cigarette advertisement on television, when at the same time, tobacco use in youth-orientated movies is very common. Consequently, a number of educational programs have been developed in the U.S. in order to help students in high schools to develop all those necessary skills to analyze what they watch and listen to in the media, especially movies and music. The situation, though, is far more serious for very young children. Recently, my 5-year-old daughter was watching on TV the program So You Think You Can Dance. She was dancing along while watching the young dancer on TV dancing to the melody of the well-known song I Kissed a Girl. To be honest, I did not realize that it was that particular song until my daughter posed the following question to me and to my wife. Why does she say I kissed a girl? I was surprised, shocked, terrified by the fact that a 5-year-old girl, while dancing and having a good time, picked up the meaning of the lyrics and analyzed the message of the song. The child was shocked because she could not comprehend the behavior that was totally opposite with what she was experiencing so far by her surrounding environment. I'm sharing this experience from my personal life just to show you that nobody was ready to react on this occasion. My daughter was not old enough to analyze the message she received. I and my wife as Orthodox parents were stunned by the question and probably totally unprepared to explain adequately the message of this song. There is no doubt that we need media to know what is happening around us. When I was doing media studies, I remember a lecturer described media and especially television as a window to the world. The concept of window implied that there is a restriction in terms of viewing the outside world. It is not possible to see the whole picture. I heard that concept a decade ago, and you could argue quite successfully, I believe, that nowadays this window does not exist anymore because of the internet, pay TV, etc. In any case, the popularity of large media groups proves that we still rely for our information on a small number of media, and the concept of media as a window to the world is still relevant. In other words, we've got only limited sources in order to receive all those informations. We might have too many radio stations, we might have too many websites, too many TV stations, but the sources ultimately are limited. But let's take a step further and see what this knowledge means to us. We know, for example, what is happening in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and we might not know what is happening in our neighborhood. Furthermore, we might know how the recent financial crisis was triggered, but we might totally be ignorant why our personal life is in crisis. We might have watched a number of times those kids who starve to death in Asia or in Africa, but have we become more sensitive, more philanthropists? On the contrary, I believe. The frequency of those images on TV makes us more and more familiar with this reality and does not guarantee action to help those kids. We know from our Orthodox tradition that those saints who lived their whole life isolated in caves and monasteries and were praying for the whole world with pain and love without being informed about the specific sufferings of their times. Saint Siluan, for example, the Athonite, was praying for the whole world and did not need to read newspapers in order to be sensitive about people. A bishop from Cyprus recently, Metropolitan of Lemesos, Athanasios, said that while listening to radio, he realized that he was listening a news bulletin full of murders, terrorist bombings with many deaths, road accidents, sexual assaults, and within the same bulletin, news about the lives of the celebrities, results of soccer games, stock market and the weather, all together. Μία σαλάτα δηλαδή. And he poses the question, Metropolitan Athanasius, do we have time to assess this large amount of information? Is there a time of reflection of what is really happening around the world? The information we receive from media increases our knowledge of what is happening around us, but does not necessarily affect our sensitivity or humanity or our love for those who are suffering. Watching or listening to or reading the daily news has become a boring routine that does not change our world. Media consumers now are far more aware of what is happening around the world, but at the same time tend to become passive observers of reality. They might have a common ground for a discussion between them, but nothing more. The issue of the influence of media is also important for us as Orthodox Christians. Our tradition conveys values. The issue of the influence of media is also important for us as Orthodox Christians. Our tradition conveys values and beliefs that do not coincide with what the mainstream media represent. This conflict is a painful reality for all of us and presupposes a good knowledge of our faith and tradition in order to assess what we watch and listen to, and eventually to decide what is good and what is bad, what is beneficial for our spiritual progress, and what is harmful for our salvation. Not a long time ago, an elder from Mount Athos, Father Joseph, Gerontas Ioseph, talking to laymen who visited him at his place, called television telehell, τηλεκόλαση. Αυτό δεν είναι τηλεόραση, είναι τηλεκόλαση, έλεγε. It is interesting, though, that I watched this footage on YouTube. So if you actually type τηλεκόλαση in YouTube, you will find that video, which is amazing. Having said all this, the intention is not to demonize everything deriving from media, but rather to demonstrate their power and our challenges as Orthodox Christians. Media is an integral part of our life, and it is our decision how to use them. Fortunately, media can be used by anyone, so together with the media tycoons, smaller groups can use them as their own for their own interest. Our parishes, our youth groups, have started to develop their own websites and email lists connecting us with the daily activities of the church. But on a greater scale, for a long time now, the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese in Australia publishes the Vima of the Church and other publications which inform the faithful of their church. And lastly, we are lucky enough to live in an era that we even receive a 24-hour Orthodox TV channel from Greece. The decisions and our attitude towards media rests on us. We have access to both beneficial and dangerous, very dangerous material. This is our temptation. And at this time, our test is to choose so that we mature as human beings and as Christians. Thank you very much for your attention.